Good morning. Is this on? There we go. Well, I thought we got some out in the foyer. They'll trickle in here in just a minute. Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
All right. Listen to this from God's Word, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Are you ready to praise Him? In all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you ready to praise that God this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. We praise You, O Lord, with all our soul, with our inmost being. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up in this place. We pray that You would send Your Holy Spirit, that You would anoint this place, anoint us with Your Spirit. We love You, we praise You, and we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Praise.
Yeah, let's praise. Here we go. Let's all stand.
Calvary, to save a wretch like me.
seated, kids. It's time for the children's sermon. Come on down.
Everybody this morning. Is everybody excited to be here? Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Well, I'm excited that you're here today. What a glorious day it is. So this morning, I have a boat. Do you like to go on a boat? Yes. What can you do when you get on a boat? What? Ride in it. Yes. Can you go fishing? Can you go tubing? Yes, you can go skiing, right? Do you like to ride in boats? Who likes to be on the water? Maybe not so much. Okay, that's all right. Well, I brought my boat because I want to talk about a time that Jesus and his disciples went on a boat on a lake. And we're going to find out what happened to that. So one day, Jesus and his disciples got in a boat. It wasn't quite like this. Okay, it was probably a sailboat and had a big sail, and they sailed, and they were sailing out on the waters, and they got in the boat, and they were sailing across. Well, Jesus got really tired. Do you know what Jesus did when he got really tired? He went to sleep. He went to sleep in the boat. He went and laid down in that boat, and he fell asleep. So while he was sleeping, a storm came. Is my storm coming? Our storm didn't last very long. Well, the wind started blowing and the waves were getting higher and higher, and the boat was just being tossed around every which way, and it was lightning and thundering. It was a very terrible storm. Would you like to be in a boat with the storm?
No,
I definitely wouldn't want to be in the boat in the storm. That's right. So, well, Jesus' friends were getting scared and they were afraid. But you know what Jesus was doing? He was sleeping. Was he afraid?
No,
he was not afraid because he had a plan. Did you know that Jesus probably had a plan for that day? Yeah. Well, Jesus' friends, his disciples, were very scared, and they started crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, help us. Don't you care that our boat is going to sink?" Do you think Jesus cared that boat was going to sink? Yes, he did. Jesus cared about the safety of his friends. Does Jesus care about you? He does. So do you know what Jesus did when he heard his disciples? He got up. He stood up. And you know who he spoke to? He spoke to the wind and the waves. And he said, "Peace, be still." Do you know what happened to that storm? It stopped. It was calm. There was no more lightning. There was no more thunder. And that boat just floated along. Isn't that amazing that he spoke to the wind and the rain, and it stopped? They obeyed God. Do we obey God? Should we obey God? Yes, we should. That's right. But it isn't amazing that the wind and the waves obey God. So when you leave here, and not when you leave here, but all the time, should we obey God when he tells us to do things? Yes. Do we always obey God when he tells us to do things? All the time?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. Well, good. So, we need to obey Jesus because he tells us we should obey him. Right? So, do we need to listen for God to tell us things so that we can obey him? So, when you go out this week and the weeks and the months to come, will you listen for God and obey what he tells us to do? And you can learn about what he tells us to do in God's word, can't you? Does he tell us to love others?
Yeah.
Does he tell us to be kind?
Yeah.
Does he tell us to obey our parents?
Yeah.
Should we do those things?
Yeah.
Because he's told us to do this, didn't he? Yeah, just like the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus, we need to obey Jesus. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you that that we that you just care so much about us, and I thank you that you give us your word that we can obey it and follow your directions, and help us as we go through today and the days ahead and the weeks ahead, Lord. We just thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go this way. Yeah, come on, let's go. All right.
Well, good morning again. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. If any of you would like to register, we'd love for you to register with us. You can do that through our Wiley Methodist app and let us know that you were here. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here and hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the love of his people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guests and has a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to get to know you. And I'll be out at the end of the service, and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. So Billy normally does our prayer time. Let me kind of give you an update on Billy. He was feeling a little odd this weekend and got tested for COVID and it was negative, but they recommended that he maybe take a couple of days in isolation and get tested again later. So we're kind of just be prayerful that'll come up negative again. So that's why Billy is not with us this morning. In your bulletin, there is a handout that says Children's Hunger Fund PAC event. Let me tell you about that. That is today at Zion Lutheran right down the street. We participate in that with Zion and support that. But they are kind of the sponsoring church there. And at 11:15, I think it ends about 3 or so, they've got lunch provided down there for you. That's free, and you can come and you can eat, and you can help pack those the boxes for food boxes for the children. So there is that. If you are able, stand as we recite this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we go into some prayer time this morning, I also direct you to the back of your bulletin. There are prayer requests there. Bob Carlin, just a reminder, please lift Bob up. He's still doing okay, but it's two steps forward, one step back. He's got COVID. He has had a liver transplant, and he's at Baylor in the Metroplex where that transplant took place, trying to nurse him through this COVID scare. You can read there. I know there are others. If you have prayer requests for our prayer team, you can write that. There's a card there in the seat pocket in front of you. Let me kind of tell you as we're going into this time of prayer, we have a prayer team, and when you fill those prayer requests out, we get those, we assemble those, and there's a box you can check if it's confidential. If it's confidential, just our ministry team will pray for those and keep it in-house. Other than that, we send that out to our prayer team, and they are being prayed for by dozens of people each week. So, and again, we have these ongoing prayers as well. We also have a prayer room at the front of the church. We are a praying church, we have someone in there praying for our worship service every Sunday. And so if you feel the Holy Spirit in this place, there's a reason for that, because we're inviting the Holy Spirit to be here. Also, I remind you, tomorrow, Monday, we will be praying at noon right here in the sanctuary, praying for our nation and our world. So invite you to come and be a part of that. So let's, if you'll bow your heads with me. You know, I just invite you to just start off this time just telling the Lord how you feel about Him, how grateful you are for Him. Lord, we adore you. But I'm reminded that you adore us. That you loved us enough to send Jesus. It was planned and orchestrated that he would come and he would live a sinless life, that he would suffer for our sake. He would die for our sins and he would be raised in victory. He would be sitting at your right hand, interceding for us. We are blown away at how you love us. Father, we lift up this, all these people that we have listed on these prayer requests, but Father, the ones even that you don't know about, there may be someone right now in this room or perhaps online that's struggling mightily. Perhaps they're struggling physically, perhaps they're struggling with emotionally, with depression. We pray against the spirit of depression. We pray against, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of suicide. We lift high the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. So we trust you. We call out to you. I thank you for the people you have assembled in this church, for the hearts of these people. Father, we want to be faithful with the gifts you've given us. Not just financial gifts, but Father, even with our gifts of service and our gifts of adoration and praise. So, Father, just continue to move in our midst. We are so grateful how you have richly blessed us, how you've poured out your Spirit into our church. May we be faithful with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, the offering plates are up on the rails up here up front. You may give in that way. You also can give online, either here in the sanctuary or online through our Wiley Methodist app. God bless you.
And hear the noise inside.
love that has redeemed. As one we see. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
word says that God created man and woman. And then he breathed into us the breath of life. So everybody take a deep breath. That's God's breath in us. He's worthy of our praise. It's your breath. Sing it again, Trevor.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Only it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Only great are you, my Lord.
Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since that what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Let's pray. Father, it is your breath in our lungs, and so we will praise you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit, surprise us, teach us, speak in power and authority, and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing the sermon series, Connecting with God. Now, last week, I kind of setting the stage for this series. We talked about the relational heart. These are different methods how we connect with God. And it's a teaching series to help us connect and be closer and more intimate with God. Today's message is the creation heart, the creation heart. So I'm going to jump right in. The very first point I want to make, the creation heart connects with God through his creation. Duh. Go ahead and everybody say, duh. The creation heart connects with God through creation. Psalms 19, the psalmist says it this way: the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. A few years ago, Cheryl and I went to a marriage retreat in Colorado, a ministry called Sunscape. Really great. It's designed for pastors and spouses to go and just replenish their relationships. And it is the lodge where this was held was is kind of a rustic lodge, and it was held at just a short distance from Pike's Peak. And I don't know how many of you have been to Pike's Peak. How many of you have rode the train up to Pike's Peak at the top? How many of you almost froze to death at the top of Pike's Peak? Cheryl and I rode up there to the top of Pike's Peak, and we got out of the train, and it was like, you know, in the teens, and the wind was whipping, like cutting a hole through you, and we kind of got out and went, yeah, this is really nice. Okay, and let's get back in the train. So anyway, so we show up at this retreat, and like I say, it's this rustic lodge, and as we're walking in, we hadn't met anybody. We're walking in the front door of this lodge, and it's a big open room as you walk in, and it's a two-story, and the back wall was glass, all glass. And as you walk in and you see this back glass, this is a something like this view is what you see through that window. Pike's Peak was like, boom, right there. Now, I promise you that photo doesn't even begin to do that scene justice. We walked in and it was magnificent. I mean, it kind of took our breath away. And we walked in and I'm thinking, and here's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm thinking, that is beautiful. That is so awesome. Man, this is going to be a great week. That's what I'm thinking. And I turned and I looked at my precious wife and she was weeping. Just the beauty of God's nature touched her, stirred her in a deep place. For me, I thought, this is beautiful. For her, it was a direct connection with God. So, and there's another photo of her in the mountains. You see the joy on that face? I mean, she's in the zone. She's in the zone. Now here, so here's the thing about creation hearts. For me, Cheryl loves the outdoors, and if she could eat outdoors and rest outdoors and do any, you know, walk outdoor, everything, she likes to do it outdoors. For me, I like to be outdoors if the conditions are good. It can't be too hot or too cold. It can't be too windy. And for goodness sake, there can't be mosquitoes, because I'm this walking bait house for mosquitoes. Anybody else? Yeah. So I like to be outdoors, but it doesn't do the same thing for me that it does for Cheryl. The creation heart, this person feels closest and most connected to God, surrounded by his creation. It's a difference between saying that's beautiful and stirring something deep inside of us. The creation heart tends to grow best and relate to God most surrounded by nature. Now, it doesn't, as we talk through these different ways of connecting with God, it doesn't mean that you have to identify one area and it's like, that's the only way I connect to God. No, we can connect in many different ways, but there tends to be one or two maybe that kind of float to the top. It's like, man, that's, and I told you last week, the relational heart was more my connection through other people, other believers. The creation heart, as being in nature, increases their awareness and connection with God. They often draw spiritual meaning from nature. It's like nature is communicating to them. God is communicating to them through nature. If you look back, where did God place Adam and Eve when he created them? In a garden. I mean, he said, tend the garden. I mean, so I think it goes all the way back. I think God was like, you know, I'm going to give them this beautiful garden, and it's going to help them feel connected to me. For the creation heart, creation is God's evidence to who he is, to who he is. Now, so we're going to unpack this scripture a little bit more today, Romans 1, 18 through 20. So my second point is the creation heart clearly sees the invisible qualities of God through his creation. It tells us in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. So what is seen is creation communicates and reveals to us what is unseen, which is God himself. Jesus said it in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. God is God, and creation demonstrates that, reveals that to the creation heart person. Thirdly, the creation heart not only sees invisible qualities of God through nature, but also sees the eternal power of God through nature. How big he is. For since the creation of the world, verse 20, the world, God's eternal power has been clearly seen. Abraham, God made covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, and he took Abraham outside, and here's what he said. Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So God was using his creation to communicate this covenant with Abraham. Cheryl and I, back when I had functioning knees, we used to do a lot of backpacking. That was funny. Is this on? You got to, Tom, help me out here, man. We used to do some backpacking. You've heard me talk about that. And there's just something about a mountain sky. When you're 12,000 feet up in a mountain and above the tree line, and there's no lights to disrupt anything. And one of the things that we used to like to do is if there's a group of us, we'd lay blankets out on the grass and we'd lay on our backs and look up at the sky and just look. There's a sample of a mountain sky right there. It's just vivid. It's unlike a sky I've ever seen before. And I remember one time we were doing that and what I thought was a star was moving across in a real straight pattern. And I asked them, did y'all see that right there? Look at that right there. And it was a satellite. It was so vivid, you could see satellites going across the sky, going across our atmosphere. So over the years, there's been different ideas of how many stars there are when we're thinking about the eternal power of God. And I don't know how to pronounce this, Hipparchus. Is there any really intelligent scientists in the room? Okay, all right, well, that's how you pronounce that then. In 128 B.C., this scientist, this astrologer, astronomer, I get those two mixed up. He said that there was 1,026 stars. And this was in 128 B.C. Well, it didn't do much better. This scientist named Kepler in 1600 A.D. said there was 1,005. He actually counted, how many is that, 21 less? I'm not really sure how you do that, but anyway. But in 2003, with the Hubble telescope, 2003 A.D., they have counted, and this is a low estimate on the conservative side, 70 sextillion. Now, I know that several of you, you're thinking about your bank account when I say that sextillion, right? What is a sextillion? Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, and sextillion. That is a 70 with 21 zeros behind it. There, go ahead and show what a 70 sextillion looks like, Lee. That is what, with the technology of the Hubble telescope, that is a conservative estimate of how many stars there are in our universe. Is God seeming a little bigger to us when we think about that? Creation demonstrates the eternal power of God. That is, you know, they've identified that there's over 1 billion galaxies. Think about that for a second. 1 billion, not stars, 1 billion galaxies full of stars. More than the grains of sand in every desert and beach on earth. Friends in Christ, that's a big God. That's a big God. Through creation, we see the eternal power of this God. Fourthly, the creation clearly sees the divine nature of God through his creation. For since the creation of the world, God's divine nature has been clearly seen. Divine nature, meaning he's God and we're not. He's God and we're not. And that is revealed through creation himself. None of us can fling the stars in the sky, 70 sextillion stars. None of us can do that. What this says to me is we're not God. Listen to the psalmist. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Isaiah said it this way, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So nature, creation, God's creation helps us identify that God is indeed God, his divine nature. So, fifthly, the creation art. This is where we have to be careful. If this is you, if this is how you connect or one of your primary ways of connecting with God, the creation heart can be vulnerable to worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And we see that played out in our culture, don't we? And what those two terms that I was trying to, that I got mixed up a while ago, astronomer and astrologer. One studies the stars and the other kind of predicts your future and all that kind of stuff. One is of God and one is not. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. So if this is you, if creation is a very central area that where you connect with God, you need to be cautious of worshiping that creation. Again, we see that in our culture so much. I think, not to get off too much off track, but I think we need to be stewards of God's creation, but we can also go crazy. I remember Jordan, our youngest daughter, I can remember when she was a little kid. I think she was in the second, isn't that when went to Butterfield in the second grade? And they used to go to the Butterfield campus out on 277 for the second grade. And she was riding, I think she was riding home on the bus one day from school, second grade, and she was crying when Cheryl picked her up. And Cheryl said, what's wrong? She said, one of the kids threw a piece of paper out the window, and it just destroyed her because they were polluting. So she probably has some creation heart in her. As I'm thinking about this, as God revealing himself, his qualities, his power, and his divinity through his creation, if we take that and complete it, God has ultimately revealed his love through Jesus Christ. His creation demonstrates who he is and how powerful he is and what he's about, but it's through the person of Jesus Christ that he has revealed his love to us, and that's where the rubber meets the road. Whatever, whether it's a relational heart or a creation heart or one of the others that we will be looking at, to connect with God helps us to connect with God, but ultimately we need to connect with this Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, for God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's, we read that passage, and most of us know that passage by heart, but think about what that is saying. God demonstrates. He doesn't just talk a good game. He demonstrates his love for us. And he doesn't say, hey, Hatcher, go clean yourself up, get yourself presentable, and come back and we'll talk. No, it says while we were sinners, when we were in this condition of sin, Christ came and God demonstrated his love. Christ came and he died for us. And that's who we're trying to connect to through the creation heart. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Indeed, Father, the heavens declare your glory. And you have revealed yourself to us through creation, but Father, you have transformed us through the blood of Christ. Help us connect on that level. Stir us, God. If you want to use your creation to stir us, then stir us. But Father, we want you. We want to seek you. We want to connect with you. You are great, God, and you do marvelous things. We are forever grateful. We are forever humbled. Teach us how to love like you. We want to go deeper with you. Show us how. Jesus. Amen. If you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about on that level, or Jesus that has died for you while you were yet a sinner, he knows you, he wants that with you, please don't leave this place without talking to me about that. As we close with this last song, if you will rise, if you are able, let's worship. declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. We have a big God, and he loves you, loves us. Isn't that amazing? The same God that flung the 70 sextillion stars in the sky loves you. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.